Dear Cheap Astronomy, what is quantum computing? This is part two, following a part one episode on quantum teleportation. And probably the first question to ask here is what the heck this all has to do with astronomy? For which Cheap Astronomy has no real answer, apart from the same reason that we sometimes cover issues like artificial intelligence, because everyone keeps going on about it, and it looks like it might be useful to move things forward, maybe. One way of looking at quantum physics is that to measure the behavior of very small particles, like electrons and photons, you have to disrupt them, for example by diverting their path into a detector. If we instead just leave them be and calculate their anticipated behavior using statistics, then we can quite effectively model and predict their behavior without ever actually measuring and disrupting them. It can be easier to understand quantum computing if we leave out the spookiness and just run with the general idea that it's about probabilities rather than measured actualities. In normal digital computing, the fundamental unit is a binary digit, generally shortened to a bit, which can be either a 0 or a 1. In quantum computing, you have a similar fundamental unit called a qubit, which could also be a 0 or a 1, but you never know which. Indeed, you don't want to know which, because the moment you do, your qubit will collapse into a normal bit. A good example of a qubit is the quantum state that can be transferred by quantum teleportation from one particle to another, as we covered in the previous episode. You achieve this teleportation by making certain adjustments to a particle so that it adopts the same type of uncertainty that a particle in another room or another country used to have. In doing so, you never actually want to find out what your teleported particle's specific state actually is. You just want to know that it has a particular type of uncertainty that means it will respond to particular manipulations in the same way that the original particle would have. It's also important to understand that qubits can be entangled, which becomes another level of information that is carried at a system level rather than in units. And beyond that, wave-particle duality is also part of the quantum world, so qubits can generate interference patterns. It's been suggested that quantum computing will be able to put you on the right track, where the wrong sort of answers will interfere destructively, while the right sort of answers will interfere constructively. And this may be the ultimate role of quantum computers, to make approximations that can put you on the right track. No one is expecting they will ever replace classical computers, but they might manage particular subroutines in complex calculations that are likely to be started and finished by classical computers. Indeed, the whole idea of quantum computing is to avoid definite answers and just weigh up probabilities. So quantum computers will most likely be useful in computations aiming to model and predict the behavior of large complex systems like weather and climate, ecosystems, and even the behavior of human populations. As we've said in a previous episode, quantum computing seems the ideal platform on which to manage Isaac Asimov's psychohistory calculations. Whenever someone does build a quantum computer, it will be manipulating electrons, photons, and ions with magnetic fields, microwave pulses, and lasers, and so will probably look more like a particle accelerator than a computer. It's been proposed that where classical computers use transistors, quantum computers may use tiny loops of super-cooled material in which current could flow either clockwise or anti-clockwise, and no one will ever be sure which. All the current hype about quantum computing is a bit curious. Assuming it does work out as expected, quantum computing is unlikely to see much use outside high-tech laboratory environments. It may genuinely contribute to some world-changing understandings about how large systems work, but we humans have not traditionally valued predictive modelling unless it tells us things that we actually want to hear. Instead, quantum computing may find more practical uses in the material sciences, where it could assist in developing exotic alloys or ceramics. And who knows, it might even contribute to the development of a working nuclear fusion reactor. Although that outcome is, of course, uncertain.